This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge temporarily blocking the Trump administration's buyout offer to federal employees.
The judge's order puts the buyout program on pause at least through Monday, canceling out tonight's deadline for applicants and at least temporarily preventing the administration from moving forward to process those who've already signed up. The White House said more than 40,000 federal workers had already agreed to take the buyout offer, which would see them placed on leave right away, but remain on the federal payroll through the end of September.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. President Trump's government efficiency office, headed by Elon Musk, facing other legal challenges and pushback on Capitol Hill. House Democrats say they introduced the Taxpayer Data Protection Act to curb Musk and his team from accessing sensitive personal and financial data. That bill would still need Republican support. Utility company Southern California Edison, in a report to state regulators, says it believes its equipment may have sparked last month's Hearst fire in L.A. County. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. A six-count indictment was unsealed Tuesday, charging a Viroqua man for allegedly selling firearms and related parts without a license to buyers in Saudi Arabia, shipping the prohibited items, and then lying to federal inspectors about it. According to allegations in the indictment, Mark John Bushman, 60, conducted an illegal export conspiracy for more than 5 years, lasting from about February 2019 to about December 2024. Bushman obtained firearms and firearms parts in the U.S. and advertised the items for sale on eBay and other online marketplace-style websites. When buyers in Saudi Arabia expressed interest in the items for sale, he agreed to sell and ship the items out of the country to them. Throughout the course of the conspiracy, Saudi Arabian-based buyers paid the defendant approximately $398,000. Tuesday morning at approximately 8:45, Bushman was taken into custody by the Vernon County Sheriff's Office and federal agencies on Upper Newton Road, rural Viroqua, in the town of Harmony. Bushman is charged by indictment with conspiracy to smuggle goods from the United States, attempted smuggling of goods from the United States, transporting and shipping firearms with removed, obliterated, or altered serial numbers, mailing firearms as non-mailable prohibited items, unlawful dealing in firearms without a license, and making false statements to law enforcement. If convicted on all counts, Bushman faces a penalty of 42 years in prison and fines of up to $1.5 million. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office has been assisting with this investigation since early October 2024.
More trade deals by the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. We told you about the Bucks trading 33-year-old Chris Middleton to the Wizards for two players, Kyle Kuzma and former UWM star Patrick Baldwin. Today, the Bucks sent Baldwin and some cash to the San Antonio Spurs. That opened up a roster spot for Milwaukee, so they traded third-year man Marjon Beauchamp to the Clippers for Kevin Porter Jr., a 24-year-old point guard. Last night, the Bucks added Jericho Sims, a fourth-year center from the Knicks, for guard DeLon Wright. Meanwhile, the Bucks beat the Hornets last night in Charlotte, 112-102. That ended a four-game losing streak. Afterwards, Brooke Lopez talked about when he learned that the team had traded Chris Middleton.
I wasn't aware of it until Doc mentioned it at film session, so it definitely hit me as a shock. You know, I've known Chris for a long time now, you know, I've got to know him personally. So I had to fight from tearing up a little bit, honestly. You know, it's an emotional moment for me.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low near 10 above with the wind dying down. And increasing clouds for tomorrow, a high in the upper 20s. Snow developing for Friday night into Saturday. Accumulations of an inch or two. A high close to 30. Currently it's 37.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet, and we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 2.5 weeks into the Trump administration, we're going to talk to Randy Manner, retired Major General from the U.S. Army, and get some of his impressions. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part. You can join us 855-752-4842, 855-75-Civic. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board today. Thank you, Jess. And jazzed as hell this Thursday, reintroducing our co-host for the day, Earl Ingram. You can check out the Earl Ingram Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Earl, welcome back, man. Good to see you.
It's good to see. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man, you're good.
All right. It's good to see you. It's good to see you guys.
It is always
good to be back.
Yeah, man. It's been a couple of weeks. Lots and lots to get to. Earl, on your show this morning, I was able to listen a little bit of you and Reggie Jackson, journalist, talking about race and talking about education, call it reading, let's call it. And one of the things that I really took away from that conversation, it was a great conversation that you had, was Reggie talked about, it's not just the how much you read or how much news you consume, but it is also very important, the level of quality of the news and the level of quality of the books, perhaps, that you are reading. And I think that's sometimes lost these days, Earl. You know, I get the impression that there's a lot of folks out there, because they consume a particular style or lots of something, that they think they're dialed in and have a good beat on things. But I'm concerned that that is not necessarily the case if the quality of the product that they're consuming isn't up to par, Earl.
Well, you know, Dominic, you're a voracious reader. You wouldn't be where you are if you weren't. And everything there is to know in this life is in a book. And that's why the libraries and everything are filled with books, man. Before there was any social media, there were books.
Yeah.
And so where people got, and before there was television, there was books. Before there was radio, there was books. And so, you know, I think sometimes people forget that there were people who lived before us. And they compiled a lot of history, man, a lot of information. And so when you do away with the books, Dominic, when people don't read anymore and they get their information from social media, and that it's easier to get information from social media, but the social media, the information you're getting from it, you know, you never know who the person is on the other side and whether that person has learned or not.
Yeah, what do they say, Earl? Consider the source.
Yes.
You know?
That's a simplistic statement, but it's more than that, right?
Yeah, it's certainly more than that. And it's not, and I would also say this, so I think some of the, you know, the history of mankind is complex. We're a flawed species, Earl. And there certainly was manipulation in books. I always, even before the social media, and because you can dive into anything, you know, there's you can read for entertainment, right? You know, some nice fiction. Depends on what you're reading, what you're into, what you want. But even the books themselves, they can be manipulated, can be written by those who may have a certain angle or want something from you, specifically usually to sell a book. Because apparently everyone, if you want to run for office, you got to get your book out, or you know, so it kind of diminishes, I think, to some degree, the value of it. So I'm not knocking, you know, reading for fun, for entertainment, for, you know, winding your mind down for, you know, for meditation purposes or spiritual purposes, those things. I specifically think reading about history and reading quality history books and talking to those who are learned in history, talking to the folks who have actually been there on the ground in these different circumstances. You know, we look at like the World War II veterans are slowly dying out, man. I'm a little concerned that perhaps these upcoming generations don't really comprehend the magnitude of that sacrifice and what they fought against, because I feel like we're kind of flirting with it again these days.
You know, Dominic, man, you put your finger always on topics that really have to be thought about, because you talked about the World War II veterans dying out. And my fear is always, if you skip a generation with teaching about their history, it's gone.
Yeah.
And we live at a time when, yeah, well, people don't want to know. It's not something that's romantic. It's not, you know, doesn't impact my life. You know, you're talking about stuff that happened, you know, 70 years ago, you know, 90 years ago, as if those things didn't have impact on who we are today. But, you know, youth and being young, there's an old axiom that says, youth is wasted on the young. Yeah. because if you could go back and do it again, and none of us can, but I think sometimes, and I struggle with this fight inside of my own community, younger people who want to tell my generation to go sit down. You had your chance. It's my turn now.
Mm-hmm.
As if the knowledge of life that we've garnered has no merit. And then when I hear those younger people saying it, and in my case, you know, younger people like 50.
I resemble that remark.
Not
girl.
You. Not you. Not you.
Yeah, but Dom, you're not one of the young people.
yeah, thanks, Jess. Coming from the young people.
Well, he is a young person compared to me.
Right, it's all relative, man.
So, yeah. So what they say, what I say to them is, so if experience in life has no relevance, and let's say you're 40 years old, and a guy 20 years old comes up to you, now you're telling the 70-year-old what he's
right.
Saying doesn't matter. And I ask you, well, what if a 20-year-old comes up to you? Well, he can't tell me anything. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. And it is, I don't know if we were the same way, if my generation was the same way, but, you know, I think today it's even more important that younger people, if they've got some elders, man, they should sit with them. If they got a grandpa and a grandma, you should sit with them, because their wisdom is not in a book, Dominic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? It's lived. And if they can help you move through this life in a safer, more orderly fashion, believe me, I was 40 before, I was 30 before,
right.
You know, you can get some assistance in going through this life. It's not easy.
Folks, you're
life
listening.
Is not easy.
You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Earl Ingram. You can check his show out 8 to 10 a.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On Mondays through Friday. Love it when we get to hang out a little bit, Earl. And I love the perspective. And as it pertains to, you know, today's topics and the efforts and this whole DEI, anti-DEI thing that the Republicans are on. And I think the worst example of it, and Earl, we haven't had a chance to talk about it, so that terrible accident happened with the helicopter hitting that passenger jet in D.C., and, you know, 60-some, almost 70 people perishing in that, to hear the president of the United States come out and essentially blame DEI for the crash is just, it's super, I mean, it's frustrating just factually because obviously he doesn't understand what the whole point is. And number two, I think it diminishes the efforts that people are making. I mean, if someone says they want the best person in every single position that can be, right? We always want the best. Well, excluding, you know, except the best of the black people. Right. Right. But you know what I'm saying? If you're going to take only the best of, like, I don't know, rich landowning white men, you're limiting the pool of quote unquote best that could be defined in any number of ways. There is not a genius gene that is only passed down by rich landowning white men. And to know our history, Earl, and to understand it, and to try to make an attempt to account for, to comprehend that, and make an effort for those that can actually certainly contribute to our society, and have this racist old white president come out and blame DEI when the bodies are barely stiff, Earl. It was just a terrible, terrible circumstance.
You know, Dominic, two things. I'd ask during the break if Jess P.S. would look up diversity, equity, and inclusion, and who benefited the most from it. They'll show you eight groups, and African Americans are number eight on the list. White women are number one.
Mm-hmm.
Military veterans are in that grouping, way above people of color. So this misconception that DEI has benefited black people is absolutely not dealing with facts or the truth. And then for a man to come out before he gets the facts, Dominic, what person in their right mind, and while the families are grieving, what human being, let's just put it that way.
Right.
What type of human being are we dealing with that he doesn't even understand the grievance or the fact that people have to suffer and they do it in their own way? Let them go through that before I say anything. He's so crude a person that he had no compassion whatsoever for the bodies. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Is it a chance for me to get ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get some points? You know, and so it's hard to relate to him as a human being, Dominic. When you see these kinds of instances, it's hard for me to relate to him as a human being.
And that's obviously, we know what he is as a human being. So his behavior and his attitude and the way that he presents himself, it should be no surprise. And I think technically he's getting mentally worse. Define that how you want. I mean, he's getting older, man. The things that he's saying, he's just rambling out. And then, you know, all the sycophants are trying to maybe backpedal a little bit or redefine what he meant or what he said. But specifically on the DEI and the crash, it is just Donald Trump's way. It's just the mega way to throw a little racism out there, man, because they can't do it like they used to. So now it's all woke and DEI, and that's what's the problem with everything. Not the fact that we're, you know, living with black people. I mean, it's just pathetic. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Earl Ingram joining me today. You can do so as well, 855-752-4842. When we come back, let's talk about some of the local politics. Man, our congressmen, our senators here in the state of Wisconsin, they're doing things. Some things are better than others. Stick around. We'll talk about it.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A New Hampshire Senate bill just killed in committee would have moved the state's four presidential electoral votes to a winner-by-district system from a winner-take-all. Nebraska, the only state besides Maine which apportions its electoral votes by district, is trying to end it. The National Conference of State Legislatures defines a winner-take-all system as one where the winning candidate's party, no matter the margin of victory, gets all of the electoral votes. Currently in Nebraska, which has five electoral votes, and Maine, which has four, one electoral vote is awarded for each congressional district a candidate wins, and the candidate who wins the popular vote statewide gets the rest. New Hampshire is currently a winner-take-all state with two congressional districts. SB 11 would have adopted the Nebraska and Maine model, likely in anticipation of gerrymandering a guaranteed GOP congressional district. But February 5th, the Senate Election and Municipal Affairs Committee recommended that it be killed in an upcoming full Senate vote. The AP reports that Nebraska's GOP is irritated that candidates Obama, Biden, and Harris won an electoral vote from Greater Omaha's Congressional District 2. Another legislative attempt to end it appears doomed to fail by filibuster, so state Republicans are preparing a ballot measure instead, hoping the voters will change what the legislature could not. We have links to the local reporting and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working hard on the board for us. And our pal Earl Ingram joining me today up until the 6 o'clock hour. You can check his show out 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Earl, always fun, man. Let's get to some of the locals, man. We actually have an election coming up April 1st, primary coming up February 18th. There's stuff going on. And of course, this is for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But our legislators are also hard at work, Earl. And it's interesting to see what the Dems are doing and what the Republicans are doing. So I want to get a couple of things out there, Earl, and I want to get your opinion on it. Daily Beast was reporting from last night. The Democratic lawmakers frustrated with Elon Musk's government takeover, and they're not afraid to show it. Rep Gwen Moore and Judy Chu, reps, barged into House Speaker Mike Johnson's office on Wednesday to confront him about the Musk-led Department of Government efficiency gaining access to the U.S. Treasury Department's federal payment system. The lawmakers forced their way into Johnson's office shortly after Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent arrived to discuss his tax agenda with the speaker. Here's what Gwen Moore wrote on X. I am here to demand, all caps, answers from Speaker Johnson at his meeting with Scott Bessent regarding sensitive taxpayer information being handed over to an unelected billionaire donor. Oh, way to go. And thank you, Gwen Moore, for doing that. You know, these and any of these Republicans who are kind of mad about this accident, I would just remind them of January 6th. So if you got problems with people, you know, storming the mound, maybe you should just look at January 6th, man. Also, along these same lines, a Rep. Mark Pocan, he is putting out a new piece of legislation. He rolled out the Eliminate Looting Our Nation by Mitigating Unethical State Kleptocracy, which is the acronym is Elon Musk. He came up with the Elon Musk Act. You know, he started with Elon and worked backwards. But we appreciate the efforts by our pal, Congressman Mark Polkan, out of the Madison area. Here's what he said. No government employees should have any financial interest in who the government does business with. Elon Musk is the poster child for this type of potential abuse. After more than $20 billion in federal contracts, there's no way Musk can be objective in what he's doing. As the political article says, Musk holds major federal contracts through his companies, including SpaceX and Starlink. And one more I'll throw out there as well. Tammy Baldwin put a piece of legislation out there as well. Found this one on the civicmedia.us/news site. Folks, check that out. One of my go-to now from the Civic Media staff. Baldwin introduces legislation to close a tax loophole pertaining to carried interest that allows some investors to pay less income tax. So fighting for, you know, tax equality, or at least making them pay their fair share, pushing back against this unelected, this Elon Musk and his obvious conflicts of interest. When you got $20 billion in contracts, you're going to have some say and some influence and some ideas on what may or may not happen, probably based on the 20 bill. And then, of course, Gwen Moore standing up for us here in the state of Wisconsin, pushing back. Now, let's contrast that, if we may, with some of the Republicans. Well, what are they doing? Well, they're totally open to Trump's out-of-the-box proposal to take control of Gaza. Yeah, this is so we see the Republicans sycophanting, kneeling behind Donald Trump and his brain-addled idea to, quote, take over Gaza. We're going to take it over. We're going to bulldoze. We're going to build Taj Mahal. There's going to be beautiful. And we're going to displace. We're going to forcibly move the Palestinians to what? Jordan, Egypt, somewhere that don't. I mean, the whole thing. But other than Israel, my understanding, none of our allies and none of our adversaries are down with this program for Trump to develop the Gaza.
Well, let's not even mention the Palestinian people in Gaza who don't want to leave. They don't want to leave their homes.
Well, why would they want to live there, says Trump? Why would they want to do that? Johnson, Ron Johnson, state of Wisconsin. Well, he is full behind it. According to the Journal Sentinel, Johnson said, quote, we need some bold new ideas, suggesting it could be a step away from the path of death and destruction in the Middle East. I appreciate the paradigm shifting out of the box thinking of President Trump. Oh, what a great out of the box thinking. Let's destroy everything. Let's displace the locals and then build a Trump hotel. That sounds like a great idea. What did Trump say during a joint press conference with the Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu at the White House on Tuesday? Trump said Palestinians living in Gaza should be removed from the territory and relocated to neighboring countries due to the widespread destruction from Israel's war with Hamas. He said the U.S. would take control of Gaza. Quote, we'll own it. We'll own it. Adding that the U.S. would be responsible for removing unexploded munitions. Why? Quote, level it out. Create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. He said his goal is to make it the Riviera of the Middle East. Now, apparently, some officials are backpedaling that. Secretary of State Marco Rubio suggested Trump was not proposing a permanent takeover of Gaza and displacement of Palestinians. And the White House press secretary, Caroline Levitt, told reporters Trump had not committed to putting troops on the ground in Gaza. Still, Wisconsin Republicans were not among a number of their GOP colleagues who threw cold water on the plan. Oh, hell no. Some top Republicans in Capitol Hill said the plan wasn't feasible and rejected the proposal of spending more money to rebuild the enclave. Johnson, Senator Johnson from Wisconsin, asked about the potential for U.S. military involvement in the region and the cost of rebuilding Gaza, referenced funding already sent to the region, and said, you got to put forward a positive vision. Hopefully it might inspire Gazans to support something other than Hamas. Republican Rep. Derek Van Orden, well, he's out there too. We'll do everything it takes as a nation to bring peace. He says Donald Trump is our adversaries around the world. Better understand nothing is off the table when it comes to Donald Trump's leadership around the world, period. Well, Van Orden later suggested that he didn't mean he wanted to physically own the territory. That means responsibility. That means projecting peace through strength. So what's the takeaway? And Earl, I want to get your thoughts on the other side. Sorry for taking up the whole time here. The takeaway, Democrats in the state of Wisconsin are working for the citizens of this state. Republicans in the state of Wisconsin are sycophants to Donald Trump's crazy ideas on any given day. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says proposed tariffs from the Trump administration could cripple Wisconsin farms.
The Wisconsin Democrat says any country hit with American tariffs isn't going to roll over.
Tariffs will likely be met with retaliatory tariffs. We know that we'll lose export markets. We know that we will have a lot of pain to endure.
Baldwin says any cost increase that manufacturers and businesses see in those tariffs will simply be passed on to consumers. On Monday, the Trump administration paused 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico for 1 month. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature announced a measure to require sheriff's departments to verify immigration status of people jailed on serious felony offenses. New Berlin State Senator Julian Bradley said sheriffs would seek reimbursement from the feds for costs incurred by complying. He noted in recent media reports that there are sheriffs that are not interested in complying with federal law. Brown, Fond du Lac, Manitowoc, Marquette, Sheboygan, Waukesha, and Washera counties currently participate in a federal program to assist ICE in immigration enforcement actions. Dane and Milwaukee counties do not. Counties which fail to comply would risk losing up to 15% of state-shared revenue. Representative Tyler August of Walworth says the bill is restricted to illegal immigrants that have committed criminal serious acts and that have been arrested and detained by sheriffs and local police. Democratic Governor Tony Evers has already indicated that he'll veto such legislation. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thede.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Connor Krieger. For your superhero fans and animation lovers, Invincible Season 3 has come out on Prime Video. It follows Mark Grayson, Stephen Yang, as an average teenager who discovers he's a son of the all-powerful Omni-Man. Soon after, he learns that he has powers too, when he finds out his father was actually sent to enslave the Earth and not protect it. He's forced to choose between humanity and family. The show has debuted with a 100% fresh critic score. Get y'all of Season 3 on Prime Video. The first trailer for Marvel's Fantastic Four, First Steps, has dropped, seeing Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, and the Bears' Ebon Moss Bachrach becoming Ben Grimm, a.k.a. The Thing. It's a fast trailer that shows what you can expect from CGI to the cast as the characters. Check out the trailer on YouTube, Fantastic Four, First Steps. It's theaters July 25th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low near 10 above with the wind dying down. An increase in clouds for tomorrow, a high in the upper 20s. Snow developing for Friday night into Saturday. Accumulations of an inch or two. A high close to 30. Right now it's 36.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a Super Bowl preview party with Brady Ewing and Mike Clemens, and also Peter Rapine gives us a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
To the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Join us on the lines, on the text line as well. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. Earl Ingram joining me today. Check his show out Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Went down a litany of what some of the Wisconsin Democrats are doing and what the Wisconsin Republicans are doing. And I have my opinions, Earl. You heard it. You got the update. Gwen Moore barging in, demanding answers. What's your take on the different efforts of the parties here in the state of Wisconsin, Earl?
Well, you know, Dominic, I think at the one thing that I think people aren't looking at that's right before our eyes
taking place, man. There's a coup that's happening in this nation. We talk about coups in third world nations and all of those things. And so I've always, you know, from the time I was a young man, heard about the coups happening all over the world. There's a coup taking place in our nation. What is a coup, man? Somebody inside the government taking it over. Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and the Republicans have established a coup in our nation, and we shouldn't be afraid to have that conversation and say that outwardly.
I mean, a coup, that's pretty, I mean, those are some bold words, Earl. I mean, they won the election, right? And they're putting their guy in to wreck everything. I mean, I don't know how is that a coup?
Well, because they've basically worked to usurp the Constitution. They've worked to omit the Congress. The Congress, which generally works in conjunction with the president. Well, the president, Donald Trump, is not even having a conversation with Republicans. The people who he's supposed to be working with. He is doing this on his own. That's why I'm calling it a coup, man. If the government, the governmental entities that are established in this nation to make our government work for the benefit of the people, and yet those elected officials whom we elect in a representative government don't have a voice themselves or are silent. The Democrats do, but they don't have the majority. So they're limited in what they can do.
Do you make a distinction, though, Earl? I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you make a distinction with those that have the voice and choose not to use it? The Republicans could do something, could say something, but they're scared of their own voters, man.
They're a part of the coup, and they don't even know it. So when you, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
When you are in a representative government, Dominic, you're a learned man. In a representative government, you and I can't petition the government for the things that we're talking about right now. So we elect people to do that. And when those people we elect say to us, well, I want to do what's right, but Donald Trump is going to primary me and Elon Musk is going to give him the money. Hey, man, I don't give a rip about you. You're an elected official. If you do the right thing by the people, the people will reelect you. But what's happening is too many of our elected officials are afraid that they're going to lose the gravy train. And so all of these things can happen, Dominic. You see it before our eyes. All those crazy, whacked out people that Donald Trump has selected for his cabinet are all getting through. Man, can you imagine? The only one that didn't get through was Getz.
Yeah. Earl, but historically speaking, in these circumstances, only about 3% or less of the president's choices are actually ever not approved. I mean, odds are, as wacky as they seem, and I don't know if the RFK Jr.'s worm got a vote, but that was a close one. they're getting through. And I can't, you know, and to that point, or if they were going to select a cabinet to unwind and break everything, what would you do? You put the anti-vaxxer in charge of HHS. You put the Tulsi Gabbard questionable intelligence backgrounds with her meetings with, you know, violent Syrian president Bashar, for example. Put her in charge of the intelligence. Right. This is what you do. You put the people that can break it in charge of it. And that's exactly what he's doing. And I don't get the Elon Musk thing. So that's the other thing. You know, him having access to some of this, and apparently some courts are pushing back a little bit, and maybe they only get read only access to some of these issues, some of these files, some of this information. But if they're getting access to, you know, personnel data and health data and all this kind of stuff for government workers, what possible value is that to them? If you're going to go into an organization and evaluate what needs to change, you're going to do some SWOT analysis, you're going to get a spreadsheet and do some work on it. Does how the transactions actually work, does that even matter? No, it doesn't. How's the money? How's it, you know, the larger pictures? How are the budgeting done? How's the money spent? Where is the focus? Those kinds of things. Getting into the weeds on the ACH transactions, man, it has nothing to do with the overall philosophy of trying to come up with efficiencies to I guess, save money. And if these efforts are in fact successful, quote unquote, and I'm not sure how we define success, I guess we'll see the debt go down. But the money's already been allocated by Congress, so you can't withhold the money. The whole thing, Earl, I think is just a big show. He can't force it through Congress, even a willing Congress. Even a Congress that wants to do everything he has, even a Congress that walks behind him and sweeps up all the crap and says, oh, yeah, we should totally have a Disneyland in Gaza and suggest that we need to, you know, go there and do this and support him and support him, whatever crazy thing Trump says tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Even with that sycophancy, Donald Trump cannot push through by legislation what he wants to do through executive order. His exuberance on this is a sign of weakness, even within his own party.
So already, Dominic, through things that we've seen him, Elon Musk is already in process doing something that you and I both know and the rest of the world knows he has no business doing. He shouldn't have any rights to it. We've seen our judicial system weighed in the balance on all the different things that Donald Trump did, and everybody knew he did them, and he got to walk away. So don't tell me anymore about the judicial system. Right. Because one man was able to usurp that. You've got a United States Supreme Court that he controls. It's under his thumb.
But he only usurped that, Earl, because the people voted for him, man. They gave him that right. Donald Trump was not president, he would be continually be prosecuted for the crimes that he committed.
Yes.
And he would have been found guilty of those crimes.
Yes, you are 100% right. It is, in fact, that he has the power that he has now because some people who did not know, I hate to use it, who were snookered, and who really believed, who didn't learn from Donald Trump the first 4 years. He never did a damn thing. Can I say that on the air?
You can.
He never did a damn thing in the 4 years that he was there before to help those same people. They couldn't point to one thing he did to help them. But you heard them say, well, things were better for me then than they were now. Well, I wonder what they'll say, Dominic. It's only been 3 weeks. By the time he's finished, those people who he's basically said, oh, they'll understand, they'll feel the pain, they'll accept that.
You know, there used to be other people's money, Earl. Now it's like other people's pain. They'll be fine. Yeah. They'll be fine. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. Got Earl Ingram joining me today, 855-752-4842, 855-757. You know, and I've been pondering, like, how to evaluate. Because when I talk to, you know, some conservatives and the MAGAs, I try to get them to quantify, like, what is success for this administration look like? Is that the stock market at a certain thing, gas at a certain thing, GDP, inflation? Like, what are you looking at? What's your benchmark? How are we going to gauge success? And so I really haven't heard. No one's even saying, like, this is what I would consider it. And I think, number one, that's problematic, because if there's no measuring stick, then you can't say, well, you fail. But we can look at the general cost of things. And inflation was the big thing, right? Everyone was mad about the cost of this and the cost of the price of eggs. Well, obviously that hasn't happened. I mean, in the last 3 weeks and of these, all these executive orders that Donald Trump has signed, that all the action that Elon Musk has gone through with Doge and everything that's been done in this administration, what has been put forth to lower costs for the American people? Number one. And number two, what has actually gone down since Donald Trump has been elected president?
Well, I need to ask you first, Dominic, to qualify whether or not you're talking about conservatives or MAGAs.
Is there a difference?
Well, they say there's a difference. Clearly, they say there's a difference, and MAGAs seem to be, you know, winning when it comes to who's kind of controlling things from the right.
Well, then that's fair enough. Then we need to probably, you know, for our conversations, and this is important, I think, for folks to do it all the time. Who are we talking about? And I consider, you know, the MAGAs versus conservative. If we're going to have that conversation, I would think like your traditional conservative would be a quote unquote small government, you know, family values, you know, balanced budget kind of conservative.
Do they exist anymore?
Well, yeah, but they've all been thrown out of Congress, right? They exist. They just don't have any power anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dominic, that's kind of where we are now. And, you know, say what we will, but Donald Trump has purged them. One man.
Well, no, not just one man. Like,
well, it's the people behind him. It's the people behind him.
Donald Trump has zero power by himself, dude. Let's understand that. Power is given, man. If you got 300 million people in this states that ignore you, you have no power. You know, so the power is given by the people. That's my thing, man. And we can, as a people, take that away. Let's get to some calls. We're running out of time. You're 855-7.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Just quickly. I stand corrected. Yeah, what I will say is this, Dominic. Project 2025 is the power behind Donald Trump.
Yeah. He knew nothing. So, he knew nothing about it, remember?
I know it.
Hey, Tom from West Dallas, you will be first today. Welcome. Happy days, Tom. What are your thoughts?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Just thinking outside the box, with the people who did 2025 and all of the Trump wanting to be a dictator on day one and continue, what are the dictatorial kind of government want to know everything about everyone, that they would have it at their fingertips? Do you not think that maybe that's what Musk is doing? He's gathering data on all of us to use as a master.
Doesn't the NSA have all that already, Tom? You know what I mean? Could you just buy it from AT&T? No, I'm sorry. Finish that thought, Tom.
But they don't have complete access, like he would now to all the little things. Oh, you're making this much. Your mother made that much. You know, it's just, you know.
But what? Okay, I get that. But Tom, in 30 seconds, so what? So he found out what my mom's social security number and what her income was. So what? You know what I'm saying? For real. Like, how does that impact anything?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. But it seems like there's some big plan here that they're not talking and no one's thinking about yet. on this. So it kind of scares me. What could they possibly do with a why? If there's no fee, why would he even be doing it? It's not saving any money.
Well, not yet, Tom, and we'll see, because the money's already been allocated by Congress, by the budget, by the Republicans as well. Folks, come back with us. Earl Ingram joining me until 6 o'clock. Just PS on the board. You are next, 855-752-4842.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera, whenever it's the red alert.
Right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to, like, fake, like...
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working on the board. Earl Ingram joining me today till 6 o'clock. Appreciate it. Earl, check his show out Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got some callers and some texters. We'll get to you in just a moment. Earl, earlier in the day, we started out talking about Congresswoman Gwen Moore going to Speaker Johnson's office and busting some chops about Elon Musk and his access to all this data, which per our most recent caller. Here's what the Journal Sentinel is reporting right now. A staffer for Johnson told the Journal Sentinel that the two Democrats, this being Gwen Moore and California Democratic Judy Hsu, quote, busted into the Speaker's office uninvited. They busted in, Earl. They busted in. And they were denied access, though Johnson spoke briefly with both of them afterward. Moore said in a brief interview that she had questions about why information was accessed and what was being done with it. And she took direct aim at Musk. Here is my congresswoman's comment. Here's a billionaire, naturalized citizen that can just walk in the door and tell federal employees to get out of the way and let my people go in and take information. All of us thought that we had more security than that. You want to sell pretzels at the airport? You have to go through a background check. You can't just walk through the gates and do that. Who are these people? Yes, Gwen, thank you for being the voice of reason always. That is exactly the point. Who are these people? Just some breaking news on the storyline. A judge has paused the federal worker buyout offer deadline. According to the Washington Post, the administration had given most of the country's federal employees until 11:59 p.m. tonight to decide whether to resign with pay through the end of September. The federal judge in Massachusetts paused the deadline for the federal workers 2 days after unions representing more than 800,000 federal workers asked the court to halt the program, calling it arbitrary, unlawful, short-fused ultimatum. Now, the judge set another hearing for Monday at 2 p.m. for full argument. So right now that is paused. So there's the update on the Doge and the federal workers and all that jazz. 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you are next. Welcome, Mark. What do you got?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm trying to have a hard time figuring out if this is crystal fascism or Stalinist crystal Stalinism, because Stalin actually had the idea of, you know, if you tried to do any science in the old Soviet Union, it had to match up with Soviet socialist thought. And that's what it seems like a lot of the science are going to try to kill, you know, that our government actually works with, you know, scientists to produce and get and disseminate to ourselves in the world, and it's really scary in a time when diseases can break out, because I think these SOBs are going to ignore bird flu, and it's going to take out millions of Americans, and it's just going to be another COVID, and without our cooperation with the CDC and the WHO, we may be well and truly screwed, and forgive me, but I would just hope that Arya Stark would be the sommelier for their next house frame missing of Republicans.
Arya Stark. Hello, Game of Thrones reference. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your thoughts. 855-752-4842. Let's get one more caller in this hour. CJ, you're up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Well, hey, Don, Earl, how you doing?
Good, man.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, as you've seen, USAID has been suspended, and I think that's a terrific thing because the wasted money that they've spent and where money's going.
Isn't that the job of the Congress to dictate, CJ, how that money goes? A president signed that. Let's keep him up. CJ, I got it. A president signed that. The Congress sets the budget, right? Congress controls the purse strings. So if they don't like it, you don't like USAID. I mean, we're working on a budget like in a couple of weeks, right? Isn't this coming up like right now? Why not just then cancel the money for USAID? Why go through this whole rigmarole, man? Do it through the budget.
Well, they haven't written a balanced budget in over a decade.
Well, the Republicans control the House. Republicans control the Senate. Republicans control the executive branch. Republicans control the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, what are you talking about, man? They can do whatever the hell they want.
Yep, and they are.
But they're not. Why aren't they doing it? Why are you relying on executive order?
$14 million.
What?
$14 million.
For what? Condoms?
To support gender equality.
Hey, climate change. Listen, dude. Listen, here's a problem, CJ, and I'll let you respond one more time. I don't believe Jack coming out of these dudes, man. They haven't shown it to me. I don't know. I've heard stories. I heard the lady, the spokesperson for Donald Trump, stand up and say she would never lie to me, and then told me about the $50 million in condoms that were being sent to Gaza. And that story just seemingly went away, CJ. So until there is some sort of evidence, how about you wait until the facts come in and tell me that, man? Do you believe there's $50 million in condoms sent to Gaza? Because that's what your president said.
Well, we listened to 3 years.
See, that's the problem. I mean, thanks for playing 60 Seconds, Earl. What are your thoughts, man?
Well, I think, you know, CJ said it all, man. They're not going to believe. Look, at some point in time, Donald Trump is going to have to govern. And the Republicans are going to have to govern. And they're going to have to grow a pair to govern. Right now, they're afraid to. But there's no way when you've got a budget that you've got to craft. You got to govern, Dominic, or your constituents, no matter what Donald Trump says, if you're a Republican or a Democrat, your constituents are going to be after your neck. You can't say, well, Donald Trump did, because the things that they're getting ready, he's getting ready to do is going to hurt Republican constituents as well as Democrats.
Folks, the Dom Salvia Show. Come back with us more. Earl Ingram, 855-752-4842.
News from the center, WRCE.
Max Inc. has a super show this weekend. Join us as we welcome The Flavor That Kills, Rob Dees and the Steepwater Band. Plus, we'll talk weather with Rippyology. Saturday and Sunday evening at 6, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day. The guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet.
Yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge temporarily blocked President Trump's buyout offer to federal employees until at least Monday. ABC's Catherine Folders has more.
The judge's order puts the buyout program on pause at least through Monday, canceling out tonight's deadline for applicants and at least temporarily preventing the administration from moving forward to process those who've already signed up. The White House said more than 40,000 federal workers had already agreed to take the buyout offer, which would see them placed on leave right away, but remain on the federal payroll through the end of September.
2 million workers were told to accept it by midnight or risk being fired. Multiple sources tell ABC News the entire global workforce at USAID will be reduced to fewer than 300 employees, down from roughly 14,000 prior to the Trump administration's shakeup. All but those roughly 300 are expected to be placed on leave tomorrow. Heavy rain in Northern California now being blamed for two deaths in Sonoma County. This is ABC News.